You have your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Genesis, chapter 12. Katie mentioned a couple of how God is moving around the world, and she mentioned Belize. I want to say something about Belize. We've been supporting someone down in Belize doing some missionary work down there, and we have come to realize that there are some moral issues there, okay, unbiblical moral issues. We've talked about those things with the missionary there and offered some pathway to reconciliation. They're just not willing to accept it at this point in time. So right now, we're not supporting Belize, but we're hoping, you know, that God will give us another country in Central America that we will be able to support again real soon, okay? So I just wanted to share that with you. If you have any questions about that, you can talk to Rhonda after the service is over. All right, well, last Sunday, we began a series entitled On the Edge. And the series is exploring how exciting and adventurous it is to follow God. You know, it's not always easy to follow God. But there's one thing that Parkey can say about following God. It's not boring. Now, sometimes I can say, Lord, I really don't want to do this when I'm following Him. You understand what I'm saying? Because we've got something hard to deal with or to do. But I can't sit back and say that following God is boring, because it's not. It's been one of the greatest, it's been the greatest adventure that I have ever been on in my life. And while God gives us everything that we need for life and godliness, and puts a Holy Spirit within us that brings satisfaction into our heart, just being in unity with that, with the Holy Ghost, and security in our life, God always has an adventure for His children. We are always living on the edge of something. There's always more love, more revelation. There's always more new horizons. There's always great power. There's always stories like what we just heard. There are always things that are happening in God's people's lives. And so that's why I say it never gets boring, because just as soon as you think you've got settled in a little bit, God says, now we're going to do this. Or He opens up this door. He opens up that door. And so we're always, as God's people, even though we've got this great Spirit in us that I just can't live without. Anybody else say, I can't live without that Holy Spirit? I just can't. Even though we have that in us, we're always living on the edge of something brand new and something wonderful and powerful. And as we go through this series, we're going to follow one man's life as an example of the adventurous life that it is to follow God. We know him as Abraham, but his given name was Abram. And the last time we were together, we looked at how easy it is for us to settle for less than what God has for us. For God to have a goal out there and for us to settle somewhere just a little bit short of that goal. You know, there are a lot of things that try to convince us not to go all the way with God. Our history, a tragedy, our lack of ability we perceive. You know, if you don't have any ability, you are the perfect person for God to use. Now, everybody has at least one spiritual gift and at least some talent that God's given you. But one of the reasons I think God chose me to do what I'm doing is because I didn't have very much. And God has called me to do this because He gets the glory through my life. I can't take any glory because I don't have anything to glory in. But all of those things will try to get you to settle for less. And we learned last week that God didn't speak to him. We don't know that. But Abram's father, Terah, was a man who had set out for the land of Canaan. He took his whole family and had a goal is to go to the land of Canaan, which we know is ultimately the place that God was going to give that family. But along the way, Terah settled somewhere. Now, we don't know why he settled there. We're not told the story. It's really interesting that he settled at a place that he named after his son that had died. Haran was the name of his son. And he settled at a place and he named that place he settled Haran. Did he settle there because of the tragedy that he occurred in his life? I don't know. But certainly there are things in our lives that confront each one of our lives that try to tell us to settle for less than what God has for us. But thank God there was a different spirit in Terah's son. So Genesis chapter 12, we're going to start reading at verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you," boy, this is a far-reaching promise, "and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram debated the word the Lord spoke to him. Is that what it said? How many of us debate when God speaks a word to us? Or we debate with one another? It doesn't say Abram and Sarai debated with one another what God said. It doesn't say that Abram debated with God. It says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." Some of you think you're too old. Get ready. "Then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's sons and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they'd acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan, and so they came to that land. And Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem as far as the Terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him." Now it seems to me like every adventure with God begins with some type of revelation from God. Some type of vision, some type of word. And most of those visions and words are composed of the same parts. Number one, they have a direction. God will give us a direction. The word will tell us to do something that requires faith. So most words from God, revelations from God, have a direction in them. God telling you to do something that requires faith to fulfill it. The second thing is they have a promise. The word will often reveal to us benefits gained from obedience to following the direction. So God says, "Do this," and he says, "If you do this, this is what I will do." Hallelujah, that's the good part. And the third thing that your word often contains, is some element of increase. The obtaining of the promise carries within it some form of increase in influence, at least from God's point of view, increase in influence. And Abram's word contained all three parts of those. As far as direction goes, he said, "Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." Some of you guys can't imagine leaving your family. You say, "Lord, I'll do anything you tell me to do as long as my family's around." And I'm kind of shaken as I say this, because as a grandfather, I just can't hardly imagine. It would have to be God to get me to leave these grandkids. But I do understand that my relationship with God takes priority over all other relationships. And Abram's word contained a direction. It says, "Get out from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." You know, if you're going to go into something, you got to get out where you are to get in. If you're going in somewhere new, you got to get out where you are to get in somewhere new. The second part of element that was in Abram's word is promise. He said, "I will make you a great nation, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you." That was the promise from God. Some of these have some overlap. And then Abram's word also involved increase. And he said, "I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." In other words, what I put into your life is not just for you, but it's going to flow out and touch people. And in this case, he says, it's going to touch people all over the world, everywhere. Now, your word may not contain all of these. Maybe your word is very simply a word of direction. But there's always a blessing in your obedience. And blessings are not ultimately for us, but they're ultimately for the increase of the gospel and the magnification of the glory of God. Now, once Abram received his word from God, he faced a decision. What decision do you think he faced? What moving company he was going to use? Maybe. U-Haul. Boy, I was so glad to get that trailer off of my vehicle. Boy, that thing sucked gas. And you know, I feel sorry for people that don't know how to undo trailers. Because I got to the place where I was supposed to drop it off right at the time they closed. Guys closing the windows. I said, "Can I drop a trailer off?" "Sure, pull around back." Okay, and I started thinking about a woman or somebody that's never unhooked a trailer before. So I pulled it around her. So if you didn't know how to do all that stuff, you know, you're just kind of looking at all that. I thought, man, this is helpful. Some people might just have to turn around and pull it off with them. Okay, he didn't have to face a decision as to what coming. He had to face a decision to whether he was going to do what God told him. Because anytime you get a direction from God, doesn't the enemy always start bringing up reasons that that can't happen? And not just the enemy, but you. You start bringing up reasons why that can't happen. I'm too ugly. I'm too young. I'm not smart enough. My history's terrible. My family won't support this. Get out of your family. Let God do the supporting. All of the reasons that it won't happen. Okay? God won't back this. He won't finance it. He won't this. He won't that. And we're not clued into every obstacle that Abram faced. We're not clued into the thought process he had when God spoke to him. The Bible simply says Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And that's the key. God's word's not going to change. So eventually you're going to have to stop all your mental wrangling and mental exercising. Let me tell you what happened to me. When Rhonda and I first got married, before we married, the Lord spoke to me and told me, "I've called you into the ministry and I want you to begin to get prepared for it." So unfortunately, the first person I told about that was Pastor Roy. Because he was doing our premarital counseling. You know, God will get you hooked up with the people you need to be hooked up with. So he was doing our premarital counseling, and I told him, I said, "This, I feel like this is what God's told me." He said, "Well, that's interesting. God told me you were going to talk to me about ministry today, but not to say anything till you said it first." Some of you are going to have to accept this word and start acting on it in faith. Some of you are waiting for somebody to come along and say, "I was dreaming about you last night. And God told me to tell you to do this." God's got a relationship with you. He can talk to you. Now, I'm not saying God won't confirm it, but you're going to have to act on it when you know it's Him. And so Pastor Roy and I talked a little bit about it, and he said, "Why don't you come over to my house and eat dinner, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, and we'll figure out what the first step is." So we got over there. We started talking, and because of what God had told me to do as a first step, we figured out I needed to go back to school. I was married, had kids. I mean, did we have kids? Yeah, we were married with a kid. We had one child. I mean, I was just making so much money, it was just flowing out of me. That's facetious. I'm being facetious. Okay, we were doing okay, but what God was telling me to do required me to change everything. I couldn't work the full-time job I was in and do what God told me to do, I figured out as I started studying it out. Okay? So we're sitting there, and I figured out I got to go back to school. So what we did is we got out our little sheet of paper. Anybody ever gotten out the sheet of paper? Okay, when God tells you to do something. Anybody ever gotten the sheet out? Nothing necessarily wrong with that. But here's what we did. We started writing out how much income we estimated we were going to have and how many expenses we estimated we were going to have. And every time we got to the bottom, we were $400 a month in the hole. Now, I'm not telling you to be stupid, because you need to know whether this is your pickle desire, grandmother's desire, mama's desire, or is this God? If it's God, He'll confirm it. He'll confirm it to your spouse. He'll confirm it to you multiple times. Okay? So, I had a word from God, but I had no idea how all that was going to work out. It didn't look like it was going to work. So in place of the knowledge of how God was going to make up the $400 a month, I had to bank on what? The word from God. God didn't say, now here's how I'm going to do it. This is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then the next thing is this is going to happen. Then I'm going to bring something from here, and I'm going to do this, and all of that kind of stuff. He doesn't do that with you, number one, because you wouldn't like the plan. Because it would require a little bit of work on your part, a little bit. You'd say, no, 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 I tell you what, let's change this part of it. You know, I don't really like that. And it operates by faith, right? Faith is the evidence of things not yet seen or known. So at some point in time, we had to say, do we have a word from the Lord? Can we agree on that? And so we said, yes, we do. Do we have the plan? No, we don't. What do we have? A word from God. And Pastor Roy said, well, if you really got a word from God, lay the sheet aside and just do what God's telling you to do. Okay? And that's what we did. And I don't know how it happened. But somehow God did it. And not only did God do that, He paid off all of our debts during that time. How, I didn't even know we were going to eat, much less get our debts paid off. But we had all of our debts paid off during that time period as well. And so we don't know anything other than what Abram knew, other than God told him to do it and Abram departed and left. Okay? And we don't know what type of obstacles they faced on the way. It doesn't say that the wagon wheel fell off. It doesn't say six people died on the way to Canaan. It doesn't tell us that somebody got sick and nearly died. It doesn't tell us any of that. It says they set out and then they arrived. There's probably 2 or 3 months encapsulated between those two sentences, between they were fulfilled. They set out and they arrived at the land of Canaan. In between, there's going to be challenges, and I guarantee you they had challenges too. But we're just not told what they were. Yes, when you get a directional word from God, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be unanswered questions. The first thing you have to do, though, is ascertain. Is this a desire that we have? And yes, it can be a desire. That's okay. I have always had a desire to do this. I felt like God spoke to me. But is it a desire alone, or is it a word from God? Is this mama's call, grandmama's call, or is this your call? Okay. If it's a word from the Lord and you guys know it, that's all you need. Okay? That's all you need to go forward. If you don't know what the first step is, ask Pastor Roy. Now, the enemy's not going to give up. And neither is your psyche trying to battle against this. And your family may even fight against it. You can't do that. Who do you think you are? You can't go way off away from us. What are you going to do? How are you going to pay for this? See, your family, they have fears too. The word challenges not just you, but it challenges them as well. And if they love you, then they may put their emotional distress and their fear and worry about the word on you. Where are you going? You can't. What? There ain't nobody going to be down there. You'll get out there and then there you'll be. That's what my grandmother used to say. Well, you'll get out there and then there you'll be. I said, well, yeah. Yeah, that's correct. You know? But they're fears. They'll put their fears on you. And some of you, it's going to be the biggest challenge you're going to face in your life is looking your mom and daddy in the eye or looking your family in the eye and say, I got to do this. It's going to be bad. It's going to start off bad, going to end up bad, going to be bad all the time. Go bad, bad, bad. And you just got to say, well, you know, the Lord's telling me to do it. I got to do it. Okay? I remember when I first told my dad I had a call in the ministry, he really wasn't following God at that time. My dad had been in the ministry, though, at one point in time. He's sitting down here. When I told him I felt like I was called to go in the ministry, he said, oh, no, you don't want to do that. I remember. He said, no, you don't want to do that. He said, two reasons. Number one, you'll never have any money. He said, you'll always be broke. He said, number two, people are mean. He said, people are mean. And you know, I heard that, and part of that's proven to be true. But you know, if God's telling you to do something, you eventually got to put all your arguments away and all your stuff and your fears and everything. You got to say, Lord, I'll do it. You know what Abram did? When Abram got his word from God, and you know, he traveled on into the country, but when the Lord verified and said, this is what I'm going to do, and the culmination of it came, Abram built an altar. He built an altar. Why? What's the significance of that? What is an altar? An altar is a place where the divine and the human interact. But it's also more than that. An altar carries with it the idea of sacrifice. When the human and the divine interacted in Abram's day, an altar was built to indicate the sacrifice of the human will to the divine will. In Nehemiah's day, when the Lord spoke to Nehemiah and told him to go back and rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple, did you know they built the altar first before they built the temple? The altar's more important than the temple. The altar is the place where the human and the divine interact. The altar is at the place where we say yes to the things of God, where we sacrifice. The temple means nothing if the altar's not operating properly within it. Temple means nothing. Temple's just a building where God's will is not being carried out. So Abram built an altar to God. And he sacrificed his will on that altar to God's divine will. Now, what has God spoken to you to do? Take a minute and think about it. Clear away all of the doubts, all the fears, all the reasons why this thing can't happen. And go back to, has God spoken a word? If he has, it's time for you to build an altar. It's time for you to build an altar and sacrifice everybody else's fears, all your fears, all the reasons why this can't happen, all of everything else on that altar. And just say yes to God, because nothing's going to move forward until you finally get to the place where you say yes. Yes, Lord, I will do this. And this is the key to adventure. It's the first key that unlocks the door. The key to your increase in the Spirit is tied intricately to your obedience. And so I know that I'm talking to some folks today. I know I'm talking to this church as a whole. That we have to come to the place to where no matter what happens within us and no matter what God does, no matter what changes, no matter what anything that happens, that we have to be able to bring all of our fears, all of our doubts, all of our insecurities, all of our reasons why things aren't going to work, and we have to bring them to the altar and sacrifice them on the altar of obedience to God. Okay? If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I believe that God has told me something, told me to do something. I believe that it's God. Now, if you're not sure yet, continue to pray about it and ask for confirmation. Talk to your spiritual authority. Get them praying with you about it. Okay? But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I feel like God has spoken a word to me and told me to do something, you haven't done it yet, but you're either in the whatever, you're thinking about it, you're praying over it, you're in the first stages of it, if that's you, just stand right where you are. Okay, I'm going to ask you to do something kind of weird. I want you to walk down here. Why? Because this place down here is what we use as our altar. Now, you don't have to be at an altar to do this. But back in the old days, Pastor Bob, I remember people used to come to the altar when they felt like God told them something. Why? Altar's the place of sacrifice. Why? The altar is the place where the divine and the human interact, and the human says yes to the divine. All right. If you really believe that what you've heard is from God, then it's time to take all of the doubts, fears, wranglings, reasons why this won't happen, and lay them right on the altar and let them disappear. And it's time for you to put your yes on the altar. Okay? Everybody out there, let's stretch our hands out down here toward everyone. Father, you're a God of the adventure. And your adventures include the supernatural. Your adventures include the impossible. Your adventures include something that we can't accomplish on our own. Your adventures and instructions include the impossible. So, Lord, we put aside today every mental wrestle with the will of God. And we say, Lord, the decision that is made right now in this altar is that I will take the first step and do what you have told me to do. The time for mental wrangling is over. The time for the divine yes is here. And Lord, I pray now that you will show me what step one is. And Lord, you have step one. If you've told me to do this, then step one, the information is available. If I don't know what step one is, then I'll call my spiritual authority and my brother in the Lord, and we'll start talking about it. I thank you, God, that you are the Lord of the impossible. You are the door, and through you the door is open. And now, Lord, if I know what step one is, I'm going to do it right now, as soon as I can. If I don't know, then I'll get with my spiritual accountability. And I will find out what it is. And I will do it. And I give you all the praise and all the glory and all of the honor. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. This is a solemn moment, but it's also a moment of joy. this is where the adventure begins. Katie feels like she's got a word that's related to this.
Since you received these words, your spirit was quickened about what was coming on the pike. You've been completely under attack. Some of you, it's like Pastor said, it's your own psyche. You're fighting. You can hear your mom's voice. You can hear your friends' voices, all the things they've said about you. Some of you, it truly is the devil trying to stop you in your tracks. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of something that Pastor said in April, April 25th. If there is to be an increase in power, there must be a corresponding increase in holiness. He must make you more holy to prepare you for what is coming. And in the process of sanctification, it is extremely uncomfortable because you must admit that you're wrong, that you're in a place of need, and you must be vulnerable. So I encourage you to make yourself vulnerable, because as He makes you more holy, He will download more power.
That's good. You know, some of you are wondering, how does that sanctification process happen? It happens with you saying yes to God, and then He does the process. It's your divine yes to what He tells you, and then He does the work, okay? So you say, how do I start it? You started it by saying yes. Just keep saying yes. And there's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge. You're going to walk up to some places there is no door open. And you're going to say, God, if this is You, You'll have to open the door. And you know what He'll do it? He'll open the door. Okay? So, Father, this is our altering time. This is our life-altering word. We choose to sacrifice everything else on the altar and to offer You our holy yes. And we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 Go with God, okay? Go and do what God tells you to do. Do what He tells you to do.